How old were you when you first started playing an instrument?
I was about 12 years old when I started playing a guitar. And I took guitar lessons from Mr. Smith over on Kedron Street in Homewood for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And I also took lessons from Dave Moore for a short time over on Upland Street.
yeah, that's where he lived.
Right. But then I didn't want to play guitar anymore. I wanted to play a sax.
And what led you to saxophone? I mean, why a sax?
Well, my dad played sax.
Good. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And my dad used to mess around with Earl Father High's band.
Right.
Years ago. Yeah, my dad played C Melody sax.
I think I've seen that name because I have Earl's book. Mm-hmm. I'll go back through that. Okay.
His name was Homer.
Yeah, Nance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, so I wanted to play sax, and he wanted me to play sax.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk much about his days? Did you question him much about with Earl Hines and some of the people?
Only to the fact that he used to play around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was living over on Atwell Street, over off Lincoln Avenue, before Lincoln Bridge.
Yeah.
There, I had a paper route, and I was delivering papers, and I got through my paper route this particular day, and I was going home, and I heard all this racket coming from the house, you know. And here my father had bought me an alto sax from a Gelman loan up on Frankstown Avenue.
Yeah.
And,
And that was your beginning.
That was my beginning.
Right.
With
what grade were you in about that time? About eighth? Were you in Westinghouse?
Was I in Westinghouse? Yeah, I had to be in Westinghouse.
Okay, that's in junior high,
seventh,
eighth grade.
Yeah, I was about eighth grade.
Okay, 13 or
14. Because the next year, in ninth grade, I got into the Beginner's Orchestra at Westinghouse, along with Clarence Odin.
Mm-hmm. Was Nelson there at that time, or he came a little later?
He came a little later.
Yeah, a little bit later.
Yeah, okay. But Clarence and I often vied for first chair in the Beginner's Orchestra and the junior band.
And you were playing alto then?
I was playing alto.
Right.
But when it became time for me to move in the senior band, there was no alto spots available. And the only thing they had was a baritone sax.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherman Robinson was on one baritone sax.
Right.
And I was on the other.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Under Mr. McVicker.
Under Mr. McVicker.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Did you take private lessons from saxophone teachers, during that period of time in high school?
I took lessons at Pittsburgh Music Institute.
Okay.
Down in Oakland.
Right.
Right.
Playing
alto.
Right.
And I took lessons there.
Mm-hmm.
Year and a half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, while I was still in high school.
Right. Right.
In high school I was playing baritone.
Right. When did you graduate? What year did you graduate?
52.
52. Okay. Yeah. All right. Because Dalton and them were just a little bit ahead of you.
Yeah. They were all a year and a half in front of me.
Right.
And they were in the cadets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I couldn't get in the cadets because Sherman was the badge.
Right.
So I had to wait till he graduated.
Right.
And, then I filled that slot.
Was Stu Struthers, was he in there around that period of time with you?
Stu was in school with me on tenor. He was playing tenor.
Okay.
He was in the band.
Right.
He was in the marching band.
Right.
I'm thinking of Gerald Struthers, his brother. Stu was before me.
Okay. All right.
Gerald Struthers.
Okay. See, I remember Stu.
Right.
Okay.
And he's older than then.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because I guess he became a pharmacist later.
Right, right, because they had that pharmacy on
at Old Dog's Deli. Right. My sister worked there, right. You know, as a clerk, you know.
Did you do any clarinet work while you were in school?
None.
None at all?
None at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because Dalton and them, they all
Came
to Marconi.
Right. They played everything.
Right.
You know, Dalton and
Baylor,
you know,
and Mason. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get into clarinet until I got into the Army.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't take lessons. I just, like, kind of self-taught.
Right, right.
Myself. You know,
right.
In the same... later, with flute, I was playing with
mm-hmm.
Walt,
mm-hmm.
and I took lessons from the dude that was secretary just left.
Francesca. Right. He had a beautiful sound, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was
I took lessons
player.
From him for about 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and I made my debut down at the
years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was on a gig, and who's the singer? One of the top singers.
Mm-hmm.
We were rehearsing, and every time it came to a flute part,
right.
You know,
it didn't happen.
Play flute. You
right.
Know.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
I'll never forget it, man. The dude standing up there,
yeah.
You know, directing the rehearsal, and,
okay.
You know, flute mm-hmm. part, tenor, you know, I just put my horn in the back, you know.
Right, right, right.
Where's the second flute?
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked over at me, you know, mm-hmm. where's your flute?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't play flute.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't play flute?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah.
And Vince Ventresca,
right.
Who was playing first alto, was like, me,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because he'd been trying to get
right.
me, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I said, well, you know, I'm going to get a flute. And,
yeah,
take lessons, which I did.
Right. Well, when you were in high school, did you get into the cadets or the bebops or whatever, the dance band, you know, at Westinghouse? Did you get into any of those before you graduated?
In the cadets.
You did.
Oh yeah. I was,
oh okay.
I played only 6 months in the cadets
mm.
because Sherman.
Right.
Was there and he graduated like the June before, and then
okay.
I graduated.
The mid semester, right?
January,
right?
You know,
right.
So I was only in it like 6 months,
right? Right. Who all was in the band with you at that time?
Frank Conamundo was playing tenor. Emilio, what from Armand? Emilio, big fat Italian, was playing alto. Because we also had
mm-hmm.
a sax quartet
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that there were two altos, a tenor, and a baritone.
Right, right.
Which I did
right.
a lot of playing with,
right.
You know, at the high school
yeah.
level. You know. I can't think of any.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, did you, like, before you got out of high school, were you involved in any outside groups, you know, like little
kids?
Combos? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were working?
Right.
Okay.
I was playing... what's that? The Lucky Bar.
Right, right.
I played the Lucky Bar because my mother used to come up there and pick me up.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
After, you know, 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
on Friday night. You know.
Who were you working in there with?
I'm
do you
trying
recall?
To think of who in the devil was in there. I think Horace Parlin was on people.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Was Spider? Was he part of that?
I don't think Spider was there at that
time.
But later.
Yeah.
I hooked up.
Yeah.
With both of them.
Right.
You
right.
know, and Doc.
Right.
You know, this was.
Yeah. Well, I was in into the mid 50s, 57, 58, somewhere around that
right.
time.
Uh-huh.
The Apollos. Yeah.
But I mean, even before we became
mm-hmm.
the Apollos.
Yeah,
you, know,
you guys
I used to
were
do
doing
some things because.
Weren't you with Chuck Edwards? Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Chuck Edwards, Spider,
yeah,
Doc,
right,
and me.
Right, 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 right.
That was the original.
Right, right.
I won't say the,
well,
yeah, I think
yeah,
it was. Close to the original.
Yeah, because
yeah.
shortly after that, then that's when I joined the group, and,
uh-huh.
and we, you know, actually became the Apollos.
Apollos, right.
But, yeah. When you... And you say your dad played
C Melody.
C Melody, right, right. You don't recall in your very early days, you don't recall seeing him coming off of a gig or anything about his playing experience?
No. Okay. He was all finished.
Okay, by that time.
During my early growing up.
Right. Anybody else in your family play?
Well, my sister Shirley, who's now deceased, played piano.
Okay.
Because that first night that my father brought that alto sax home, you know, she and I
got together,
like hooked up, and you know, we was doing blues.
Yeah.
And so we became the show. You know, I mean, my father used to bring people by the house. Listen to us perform.
Right. When you, how long after you got out of high school, when did you start working with Joe Westray?
Okay, let me back up.
Was that after the Army?
While I was, first couple of years with that alto, I used to hook up with a guy from Homewood. And he and I would just go wherever we could find a piano. His name was Princeton McKeever. Played keyboard.
McKeever.
And he and I used to,
just go play.
Right. You know, and just knock ourselves out. Everybody else. That, But.
And then there was a lot of places to play in those days.
Right.
There was a lot of places you could play.
I guess I got hooked up with Westray. After I got out of service.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, let's. Okay, because I remember when you went to the Army.
Right. We was down playing downtown.
Littman's. We was down there on the hill, man, and and turned the pool room out. You know, Kenny Fisher was telling me about a situation where his dad came in one night and we was fired up on the thing, and he said he happened to look up and he ducked down under the table all while his dad was in there. And then after his dad left, then Kenny said he came out from under the table. But he said he followed us around. Do you recall, okay, you say you and Horace initially got together, then Spider became part of your doings, and then and then you were working with Chuck Edwards for a while. Okay. Did you, was that in the surrounding areas, like Blaisdell and all that kind of, New Kensington,
and all that. Brownsville. Uniontown.
Right.
A place called Miners in in Uniontown. You know, he was one of the, you know, his brother.
Right.
And kind of in the rackets a little bit.
Was that the guy, wasn't there a Lemon out there? Lemon, what was his name? That's all right. Because I remember the short while that I was working with him. We'd go to Brownsville, and it was a theater.
Yeah.
Right. We'd play in that theater place out there.
And then we played in a place called Bullpen.
Right.
And then every Saturday, of course, it was Blaisdell.
And how about in McKeesport? I mean, Clareton. Did you do a lot up in Clareton, up at the Gold Coast?
What was that club?
Hollywood.
Wasn't the Hollywood club?
Downbeat. It was the dance hall. And then the American Legion was up on the side of the hill.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Because it's up there.
Yeah.
This cat shot it a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all trying to get out the way.
Okay. Then, what year did you go to the Army?
I went to the Army in 57.
Okay. And did you... Prior to going to the Army, did you have much connection with Stanley?
No.
Okay.
I just knew.
You knew of him.
He was Stanley.
You knew of him.
He stayed out of his way. Just listen.
Right.
In fact, I don't even think I even heard him a lot here.
Right.
Prior to going to the circuit.
Okay.
In fact, I know I did.
Right. And all three of you were down at. Was at
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox together, you, Clarence and Stanley.
Yeah, he was in, Stanley was in 158th Army Band.
Okay.
And Clarence and I were in 113th Army Band. You know, in 158th, that was the post band. That was the big general.
Right.
You know, and Commissioner, but we did a lot of things together, mm-hmm. the two bands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we run into Stanley
quite a bit.
Right. Doing duty eyes.
Yeah.
We played together every night.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, we played three nights at the NCO Club
mm-hmm.
and four nights in the service clubs.
Oh, did you do anything in Louisville, in the city itself, I mean, off the base? Did you do that much?
Not much.
Not much. Okay.
You know, because that was a no-no.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
But we did a couple things in Louisville in a club, and from that gig, I got another gig. It was a three-nighter down in Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never got paid for.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, with a terrible group.
Right.
You know.
When did you join the union then? What?
I joined the union. Oh boy. I joined the union.
Early 50s. Right after you got out of high school?
Yes. Because those what was it, Cat's name? The union man.
Yeah.
James Ball.
Jim Ball.
Jim
right.
Ball. Yes. I had a gig with my band, Art Nance and the Five Deuces.
Okay.
Down at the Sheraton.
Yeah.
Down on Wood Street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he came to my house, I'll never forget it, and said, I wasn't going to play that job unless I joined the union.
Okay.
And
because the advertisement was out on you.
Yeah.
That's how he saw it.
And,
okay.
It was something that Mary D. was sponsoring because I used to do a lot of work
right.
with her. You know, she used to do things in our band.
Right.
Used to, you know,
right.
She always hired me to do things
right.
with her. But old Jim scared me into joining the union.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I joined.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, at who was Stoney? No. Was Stoney president at that time?
I'm not sure.
Or Carl? It must have been Stoney.
I'm really not sure.
Well, wait a minute.
Could have been Carl.
Did you join down the old club?
No.
Oh, you joined in East Liberty.
Frankstown. So I think Carl was.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. When did you begin to do? When were you on the board at the union? You know.
This was shortly after I joined Joe Westray.
Oh, Joe Westray's band.
Right. Because remember, Joe and Carl had that thing there.
Yeah.
And Carl was voted out, Joe was
right.
voted in.
Right, right.
And, you know, that was kind of a rock and a hard spot for me because, you know, mm-hmm. Carl and I were pretty
mm-hmm.
good friends. But, you know, I bought a brand
mm-hmm.
new horn from Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he used to show me a lot of
right,
things, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right,
and,
right.
And so it was kind of a
touchy situation.
With it,
yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of for me, to, you know.
Right.
But,
well, did you, when you first joined the union, how did you find, how did Brown and a lot of the older musicians, how did they treat you, you know, did you feel welcome or comfortable, did you, you know, what was your reaction to belonging to the union?
Some of the guys were pretty friendly, others were not, and,
mm-hmm.
and always would put you down, you know, because I couldn't play with it. Quarter, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was thirsty to
mm-hmm.
play.
Yeah, right.
And I used to go up to the club on Frankstown,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they used to have all the jam sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take my horn out and
play.
You know, do the best I could.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I'll never forget we were playing something in A flat. And, you know, A flat was like
mm-hmm.
you know, forget me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
the intervals weren't
right,
weren't
right.
there.
Right.
And I played a little bit, and you know, I wasn't familiar with the structure of the tune, and you know, so I know I'd finish halfway through and put my horn down.
Yeah.
And, you know, this dude named Carl Pruitt,
Right.
He's on base.
Right, right.
And I'll never forget him, because that's why I still know his name now. Because after we got through playing the tune, you know, he came over to me, put his arm around my shoulder and said, "Let me tell you something, young man." You know, he said, "You trying to play that horn, you better learn that horn mm-hmm. before you
first
try it." I mean, he drugged me. Everybody
yeah.
else, I mean, I knew I
yeah.
was not playing
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But everybody would say,
yeah.
you know,
encouraging,
you know,
right.
You'll get it, you'll get it, you know. And he put me down, you know, and I'll never forget, man. I started crying and packed up my, pack up my horn. I just picked it up and grabbed my case, and I walked home, because I just lived down a bowl metal, you know, like a couple blocks. Yeah. But I never forgot him from that point. And I did get my revenge on his, maybe 15 years later, he came home, you know, he was on the road or something.
Yeah, because he stayed on the road,
And I happened to be playing, I think I was playing with the Apollos up at the club.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we,
And, you know, I mean, you know, we had a...
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Nice thing. And
yes,
just
sir.
By that time, you know, I was getting my act fairly well together, and I felt pretty comfortable and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I recognized him, and I went up to him, and I told him, I said, "I don't know if you remember me," I said, "but I'll never forget you. You put me down years ago because I couldn't play." I said, "I can play now." And I turned around and walked away from him. You know, I mean, I felt like a million dollars.
Right, right, right. You got that off your chest. Did, how did Brown or like some, I'm trying to remember, how about Robin, some of the other saxophone players, how were they to you?
Leroy was always supportive, as was Robin Webster, because, you know, he's one of the reasons, Robin is one of the reasons,
he hung in there.
You know, I wanted a tenor, because he used to cut my hair, and, you know, he always used to have his axe out, and playing and stuff, you know. And I said, "Man, I want to play a tenor, you know, instead of an alto."
Right, right.
Don't worry about the time, man.
When you went to, how did your... the influence between you and Stanley when you first got out of the Army and started playing and I began to hear Stanley, I mean, there was so much commonality, you know, in, I mean, was that influence picked up in the Army or
yes,
from the development of both of you?
Come in.
Yeah, because there was quite a bit of, I mean, and Clarence had a different, you know, like, I don't want to use Paul Desmond, but I mean, that was how the thing, you know, Clarence had another alto approach, you know, but you had locked in, I mean, because you was playing, you know, when you got out of the Army, I mean, you know, it was happening, you know.
Well, it came about basically because I told you, you know, we were playing like seven nights a week. And, you know, whatever we played, you know, like Stanley, you know, I'll just say, like, I'll Remember April. You know, we'd play I'll Remember April, and, you know, Stanley take 20 choruses.
And you'd fire him up.
You know.
Right.
And, you know, well, after he got through playing, well, there wasn't anything else left to play. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, his style knocked me out.
Because
you know, he was a tremendous influence on, on my development.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't have, like, the world's greatest friendship while we were in the service. Because Stanley was very bitter. Because he was in the service.
To begin with.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, he always wanted to fight and stuff like that. And,
but musically.
Musically,
yeah.
Like I say, you know, we played the NCO club, and then we got paid $3 an hour. We played from 8 to 11. you know, I think Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other nights we were at the service club.
Right, right.
From 7 to 10.
Right.
So, you know, we were playing, playing every night.
Right.
You know. And
were the rhythm section people, were they all good musicians?
Yes.
Yeah.
We always had real good players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because they would come and go in our mm-hmm. band, because we had a band, my band, 113th Army mm-hmm. Band, was the band training unit.
Okay.
To send
guys
musicians
elsewhere.
All over the world.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
And,
But you were like,
I was cadre.
Okay, I mean you stayed right there.
Exactly.
You had no chance. I mean, no threat of being shipped out.
No, because when I took my test in basic training,
mm-hmm.
you know, third or fourth week,
mm-hmm.
you know, we took a test, and you know, not being too far from playing
mm-hmm.
a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, my chops
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
eyes and everything
right.
was pretty
right.
good,
right.
you know, and they had never had any jazz musicians
right.
Lately in that band.
Okay.
Now, some years before that, Cannonball
mm-hmm.
and Nat
had gone through that.
Had gone through that band,
right.
you know.
Okay.
But, you know, as soon as when I got my orders out of basic training, well, mm-hmm. I was assigned to the 113th Army Band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was there I was in the band training unit that morning,
mm-hmm.
but by noon, I was on the cadre.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
And that was the quickest adjustment
mm-hmm.
at that point. And I'm
right.
sure, you know, it'd be
yeah.
pretty tough to beat unless somebody
yeah.
comes out of,
yeah.
you know, out of basic,
mm-hmm.
you know, right in the cadre.
Right.
But, I was like a big shot there
right.
because, you know, I made the band like in 4 hours, everybody
mm-hmm.
used to say, you know.
did Clarence go in with you, or did he come down a little later on?
Clarence came down later.
Okay.
Yeah, Clarence came down later.
Did anybody, George Green, didn't he come down? He was there much later, though.
He must have been, because, you know, he wasn't.
Okay, he wasn't with you guys.
No, at all.
Okay.
During my
okay.
stay.
But was there any other Pittsburgh people down there that you can recall?
Spider Rondinelli.
Oh, okay.
He came through the training
mm-hmm.
unit, and I got him into the band
because mm-hmm.
he couldn't read a lick.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know? But he could play.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had lost our good drummer. He'd gotten discharged
okay.
from New York. Dude from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Really play.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I talked one of the instructors into
using Spider,
putting Spider in,
right.
you know, into the training
right.
unit,
right.
and then once he got out of that, you know, into the band, because you know, we needed a drummer,
right?
You
right.
know.
What year did you get how long were you in the Army?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
So
went in January 57, came out January 59.
Okay. Okay. When you came home, how were the jobs and things around town, you know, local, when you first came home, was there much work available for you?
Well, I got lucky. For me,
mm-hmm.
I'm lucky
mm-hmm.
for Nate Harper.
Okay.
Because I took Nate's place for about 2 years
right.
with Walt.
Right.
Because, you know,
yeah.
Nate couldn't
yeah.
play. And my first gig was at the Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was it, who was John Morris in the band when
yeah,
you?
Yeah, John Morris was on.
Trombone and tenor. Was that what,
yeah.
all of here? Okay. Okay.
Burt Logan.
Right.
And
Tommy McDaniel.
No, Tommy wasn't.
No, he didn't come.
Here then.
No, Tommy came later. That's right.
Lived in the projects. Bass player, the teacher.
Oh, Billy Lewis.
Billy Lewis.
Right. Okay.
Billy
yeah.
Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah. Billy Lewis, bass player.
And then, how long was it before Clarence got on?
Come in.